It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, to see you and to have you here, and to be worshiping together. We are thankful for the visitors that we have. We are always encouraged by you being with us, so we hope that we can encourage you. We hope that if you have any questions about what is taught or practiced, you'll feel free to ask those. We certainly want you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock and invite you to come back and be a part of our classes and worship to God then as well. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, as we say every week, and we say it because it's so important, the most important decision that you can make and the one that you need to make immediately is to become a Christian, is to be saved from your past sins. That victory is in Jesus. The old redemption story of the cross is the truth that Jesus reveals to the whole world, and that He calls us to respond to in faith, to obtain the victory over sin and death that only He can give. No one else has the ability, has the power to achieve that victory over sin and death that we find in Him. So we encourage you to believe in God and believe in His Son and confess that faith and repent of your sins against God and live for God from this day forward, beginning by being baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins. You might indeed be added by the Lord to His church, saved from your sin. It may be that as Christians assembled here this morning, that there's sin in our life that we have not addressed before God as we ought. Then we encourage and are encouraged by the word of truth this morning for us to fully repent, examine our hearts, change our lives, conform our lives to the will of God. If we will change our mind, bear that fruit of repentance, transforming, conforming our life to His will, He'll forgive us as God's people, as His people, if we'll repent and confess it in prayer to Him. 1 John 1:9 and Acts 8:22 teaches us that is our responsibility and the blessing that is available to us. And we encourage that of every one of us this morning as the people of God. The question that is presented in John 18 in our reading this morning is the question before us when we discuss the question of why we need truth in our lives. As we've titled our lesson, the question Pilate poses, what is truth? Now, Jesus had just said that He came into the world to bear witness to the truth. That is, Jesus testifies of what is true. While there are many sources that we go to today to try to understand what is true, Jesus is the source of truth because He is truth. Amen. John 14:6. You know, who among us that's on the internet does not Google something just about every day to find out what some truth is or some subject matter? We're investigating something, trying to learn about something. It could be recipes, or it could be shopping, or it could be mechanics. It could be preparing for a Bible class to teach. We search for information and try to find what is true. Well, Jesus, in that interview with Pilate, gave a good deal of information. And that our intent is not this morning to go through all that information, but to realize that what Jesus says is the truth. And Pilate, had he opened his heart to what was being presented to him, the testimony being offered, would have realized that his question, what is truth, was standing before him. And it may be that today, the truth that you're searching for is right in front of you. It's right there before you in the Bible that I hope you have before you right now. It's right there in Jesus, who has revealed Himself to us and to the whole world. You know, we've got to have a commitment to seeing the importance of truth in our lives. And that's what we want to discuss some, is why we need the truth. Now, just to note, the Bible uses the idea of truth in several ways. It uses it as the opposite of falsehood. And so we're to speak truth
each man with his neighbor, Ephesians 4:25. Many verses teach us that point, that truth sometimes is used in the Bible to oppose what is false. Also, the Bible uses true or truth in the idea of fidelity and trustworthiness or that which is just. In Jeremiah 7 and 28, "So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth." There was no fidelity, there was no faithfulness among God's people in that day. It had been cut off. Truth had been removed. To be faithful, true, and truth is applied in Scripture. And of course, as we want to discuss this morning, truth is shown to be the doctrine or teaching of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2 and in verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, "To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." So there is a truth of the gospel. That's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of Christ as He's described it in chapter 1. It is the gospel of Christ, verse 7, that presents the grace of Christ, verse 6. That is certified as from God, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. It came from revelation of Jesus Christ. And again in chapter 2 and verse 14, "I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel." The truth of the good news of Jesus Christ is that teaching that comes from Him, revealed by Him, through His apostles, to us and to the whole world. And it is that truth that we need in our lives. And if we will hold the doctrine of Christ in our lives, then we will hold faithfulness in our lives. We will show due fidelity to God and to those responsibilities and obligations given to us, and we will speak truth in our lives and oppose that which is false, or every falsehood, everything that is a lie. Now, some people never come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to see, unfortunately, that's the truth, that's the case. 2 Timothy 3:7 says that there are some, there he was describing those who, he was warning about men who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, when we are led away by our own lusts, when we are held captive by gullibility, by giving in to our feeling, our emotion, ourself, and the circumstances are such that we face and find ourselves in and are unwilling to learn and come to truth, we'll always be learning, but we'll never be knowing. We've got to learn and know and not be drawn by our lusts away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that frees us from gullibility. You see, it frees us from susceptibility to error, to evil, because it grounds us in that which is in harmony with the stated will of God. Now, 2 Timothy 4:4 says, again, of some who would turn away from the truth. We can be in the truth, but then turn away from it. And so some never come to knowing it, and others, knowing it, turn away from it. Now, why would that be? Because at some point, the temptation is yielded to. At some point, we have not held truth as vitally important as we need to, and have yielded to the temptation of following what is false, what is unfaithful, what is against the teaching of Christ, rather than stand true to the Word. So, the call of the gospel is to deal straightforwardly with it, Galatians 2 and verse 14, to not turn away from it, you see, to not yield submission that to anything that would turn us from it, but to see what value it must have in our lives. That's why the Proverbs say such things as buy the truth and sell it not. Purchase it, possess it, hold on to it. Or David wrote that more precious than gold, yea, than fine gold, than much fine gold, is God's law, God's word. Sweeter than the honey of the honeycomb is the truth of the word of God. So, three very simple points in our study this morning of why we need the truth, why you need the truth, why I need the truth in our lives. Because, you see, the truth of the gospel is in Jesus, and we've got to turn to Him to understand just why we need it. Here's our first reason. I have one chart ahead of myself in my thinking. This verse says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus identifies Himself as the truth. Not you. Not your parents. Not your grandparents. Jesus. I am the way, the truth. So if we truly want truth, we will go to somebody that is more, is to be held more dear, more close to us than the closest of fleshly relations in this life. It'll be Jesus. Look, Ephesians 4, verse 21 says truth is in Jesus. And it may be the people that you hold dear speak the truth, but we've got to understand it's not because truth comes from them. Truth comes from Jesus. And that's who we must go to, and that's who we must hold to if we're going to get the benefit of truth in our lives. So with that said, look at the first reason we need truth. Because you need Jesus in your life. You see, you cannot have Jesus in your life and not have truth in your life. And there are a lot of people who are deceived by that, by not understanding that. People believe that they can have Jesus in their life, but truth, well, that's self-defined. We're talking about situation ethics this morning. And the idea and thought is, well, I have Jesus in my life, but you see, turn away from what He says. How can there be confidence in that? How can we truly think we're following God when the teaching of Christ is turned away from? In John 8 and 68, when there were some who turned away from Jesus, they were unwilling to accept what He was teaching. Jesus turned to His apostles and He said, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You need truth because you need Jesus. You need truth because Jesus has the words of eternal life. His words possess life, reveal life, teach us how to live with God. Acts 5 and verse 20, the apostles were there freed from prison. It says, the angel said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." The gospel contains words of life, life that's found in the Son. Now, we need that life. You need fellowship with Jesus. Now, those who affirm a belief in Jesus will tell you they want to live with Jesus. And they think Jesus is living with them. But look what Jesus says. John 14, 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Our love for Christ is shown by our obedience to His teachings, to His commandments. I'm talking about the situation ethics, putting love and law against each other and exclusive of one another. Jesus says, that's not true at all. He answers Judas here, not Iscariot, when he said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How will you show yourself to us?" And he answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Make our abode with him, some translations say. You want Jesus in your life, and you need Jesus in your life. The way you have Jesus in your life is to hear His Word and follow Him. Hear His commandments and obey Him. That's why John was able to say, whoever goes onward and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that's the truth. Galatians 2:5. Truth of the gospel. You don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. That's why it matters what we teach, what we practice, what our doctrine is, what our ethic is, what our morality is, what we live by. Is it revealed in the teaching of Jesus?
Amen.
But He said, he who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. There's the blessing. There's the fellowship. There's the need being filled up. Jesus in your life. Let's don't deceive ourselves that we have Jesus in our lives if we're not obeying Him. Don't believe the devil's lie. The devil will lie to us. He'll tell us we have Jesus, but we're not obeying Him. We're not obeying the doctrine of Christ, the truth of Christ. If we're not doing that, then we don't yet have Jesus, do we? See? Who do you go to for help in your life? Maybe this helps answer the question, whether or not Jesus is really the need of your life and answers the needs of your life. Who do you go to for help in your life? Where do you go for spiritual guidance? Decide what you'll believe and how, and the decisions that you'll make that you face every day. What's the source of that advice or counsel to you for the spiritual support and direction in your life, for the redemption from your sins? What sources do you go to? This is intended for us to look at the applications of the point for ourselves. When I am in need, when I need counsel and guidance and direction, do I go to people who will direct me to the truth of Jesus? Or do I go to worldly friends and value what they have to say above what truth is that is in Jesus? You see, evil companionships corrupt good morals. But read the next verse as well. Now, he said, don't be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt the good morals. But he'll go on to say, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The Apostle of Christ says we ought to be ashamed that we would go to the world and have such binding associations with people in the world that they would lead us into false areas of righteousness, into unrighteousness, into sin. He said, we need to wake up. Don't be deceived. Who do we go? But when you go to our friends in the world when it comes to trying to decide what is right and wrong, what is good and what is evil? Do we go to the wisdom of the world? The world, by its wisdom, knew not God, does not know God. Who do we go to? Do we go to self-help? Find the answer within ourselves. That's part of the world's wisdom. While we're to strengthen such things as confidence and so forth, we're to do it in the Lord, not in ourselves. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there's any virtue and any praise, think on these things, the things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. God will be with you if you do the things the apostles of Jesus says. So where do we go for our help? Do we see that Jesus will ask? Do we go to the theologians? Some people will say, yeah, well, you've got to go to somebody who's been trained in the world's instruction. Jesus, to the religious leaders, said, you hypocrites, you teach as the will of God the commandments, traditions of men. Who do we go to? You see? Do we go to the gospel? That's the point I'm trying to make here, is do we choose to open the Bible? Or do we think that's
that's just for a couple hours every Sunday. Then we lay it aside. And we don't think about it until a week from now. And then we pull it out and we bring it along. Or maybe we leave it in the pew because we got another one at home. So, but whatever the case, we open it for a couple hours here, then we lay aside. And who are we deceiving? And who are we really? I mean, what are we really gaining from that? What are we really benefiting from that? Because when we face the crises of life, the challenges of life, and the tests of faith in life, are we equipped with the Word of God to allow the truth of the gospel to save us, to secure us, to guide us, to direct us, to establish the boundaries of what is right and what is wrong, to free us from bondage, to assure us of heaven, to designate and delineate and define for us what is righteousness and what is evil? To whom shall we go? Peter said, "You have the words of eternal life." Well, let us go to Jesus. That's why we need truth. We cannot go to Jesus unless we have the truth. And in finding the truth that He has revealed, we find Jesus. Now, we need truth because that's the only way we're going to be saved from our sins. You need truth to be saved. You're not going to be saved if you don't have the truth of God, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some verses here. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3 says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So God wants everyone saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You see the linkage between salvation and truth? I will not be saved. I will not be redeemed, rescued from death, if truth is inconsequential to me, because I will not be compelled to turn to the one who has the saving truth. Now look, James 1 and 21 says, "Lay aside all filthiness." Well, how am I going to know if something's filthy or not? Lay aside every overflow of wickedness. Well, what's going to define wickedness? Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Well, it's the Word of Jesus. It's the Gospel. It's the truth of Christ that defines what the filthiness is, what the wickedness is. He says, you let it teach you, and then you lay all that sin aside, and you implant His Word. Because it's able to save your souls. That's the salvation we're talking about. The salvation of our souls. Truth reveals that salvation to the lost. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Instructing us, teaching us. God's grace teaches us. It's the gospel is called the Word of His grace. In Acts chapter 20. It teaches us. Lead us out of our sin. How we should live soberly, righteously, and godly now. So, why do I need truth? You see, once I come out of my past sins, I need truth to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Truth is not just something someone needs when they're not Christians. You need it if you're not a Christian to be saved. And the Christian needs it to walk in the grace of God, to live soberly and righteously in God. Ephesians 1 and in verse 13, the passage says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Now note, they heard the word of truth. They heard the good news, the gospel of your salvation. But look what they did. They trusted in Him after they heard that. Brother, I pray we hear it. But are we trusting? You see, they heard the word of their salvation that's in Jesus. They heard the gospel. And they said, "In Him you trusted after you heard it." We've got to listen and then we've got to trust. We've got to believe it and then we've got to obey it.
That's why we need truth, is so that we can in fact have that redemption, that we can have the freedom from sin.
Passage, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth frees us. Why?
Because, you see, it brings us to the knowledge of the truth of the Son of God. It brings us to faith. You see, it brings us to faith so that we can trust
and obey the Savior. Look at John 19. Now, John is a faithful witness of the things that he saw, the things that he heard, as was the other apostles of Jesus. In John 19 and 35, "He who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true." Now, this is John who saw that Jesus was dead on the cross. They didn't break Jesus' legs to hasten the death because he was already dead. They pierced the spear through his side, and the evidence of his death poured out. Now, John saw that. John was at the cross. And he says, "My testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth, so that you may believe." Now, this would be the same John who, after the resurrection of Jesus, after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, this would be the John who performed miracles, who spoke in other languages, who raised the lame, who had confirming signs following the proclamation of the good news of truth, of the gospel in Jesus. And John now writes about the life of Jesus and says, "What I'm telling you is true. This is a trustworthy man, inspired by the Spirit of God, who saw that Jesus was dead and saw that the tomb was empty and saw the resurrected Christ and preached that truth." You see, that's what we hear about Christ. It's a trustworthy witness so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. John 20, 30 and 31. But then we've got to do something. You see? See, then we've got to trust Him. So then we've got to obey Him. We've got to follow His Word, don't we?
Amen.
You see?
Truth reveals the salvation so that we can then follow it, so that we can then hear it, know His grace, and receive His grace.
Colossians 1
discusses the grace of God that is heard in the gospel of Jesus Christ. First says, "Which has come to you as has come also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also
among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth."
Now, they heard about the grace of God in truth, but it also says they know about it. That was not just an intellectual knowledge. They participated in it. They obtained it
because they believed the truth and they obeyed it. You want God's grace, His forgiveness, His mercy toward you, His favor? Then you need the truth
that tells you about the Savior and about the bondage and freedom from sin, about the Son of God who died and was resurrected,
lives today at the right hand of God, and gives salvation through Him, through Himself, to the whole world. That's why now Peter
said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the gospel." They didn't purify their souls just because they heard it, or even just because they believed it.
Their souls were purified, and your soul and my soul will be purified only if we believe it and obey it in the obedience of the truth.
There's the trusting of Ephesians 1 and verse 13. You heard of Him, and in Him you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You got to trust Him by obeying Him.
Obeying His truth. That means repenting of our sins. That means confessing our faith. That means being baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And then the trust continues because we're ready to walk in newness of life. You see, the life that is new is now I have life of fellowship with God. I am granted access to the Father. Jesus said no one can come to the Father but by me. But when you are saved from your sins by your obedience to the truth,
Now, you have fellowship and access to the Father.
You live with God. God lives with you. Truth came from Christ.
Grace and truth is from Jesus. We need that truth. His apostles revealed, they spoke, and it is for us today in the inspired Scripture.
We need a relationship with truth in order to be saved from our sins.
Think about that. You know, we need to go to the source of truth so that we'll know what to believe, why to believe it, and what to obey, and why to obey it.
Now, we don't force obedience on anyone. God doesn't force His truth on anyone. But He makes it available to every one of us. And you need it if you're going to be saved from your sin. You're not going to be saved without it. If you want to be saved, then buy the truth and don't sell it. See, come to truth that God's revealed in His Son and obey it and live in it for purification of your sins. Now, third point is you need truth because you can only serve God in truth. The only way you can live faithfully to God, truly serve God, is in truth. That may seem very fundamental and elementary, but you know, in reality, I was about to say in truth, a lot of folks try to serve God in ways that are far afield, far removed from the truth that is revealed in the Bible. Look at some verses. 2 John in verse 4 says, I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. To back up, in fact, to verses 1 and 2, to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only, but also all those who have known the truth because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Now there's a sustained relationship with truth that enables us to have relationship with God. He loves the brethren in truth who know it and walk in it, who are keeping it. You see verse 4, they're walking in truth as they receive commandment. Note, the truth is there used equivalently as an equivalence to the commandments of the Father. Verse 4. God's commands are God's truth. People who say commandments are not important, commandments are oppressive, commandments are bad, just as well say truth is oppressive and truth is bad. You see, thing is, we're not going to serve God with our own estimation of truth, but what He has revealed to us is truth. In 3 John 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4, John writes, I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. How are you going to walk in truth unless it's in you? You're not going to be able to, are you? We will not walk in truth with the truth being absent from our hearts. It's got to be in you. You see, that's why, you know, the prophecy was, God said, I'll write my word on their hearts and minds. You know, Jeremiah, it's applied in Hebrews chapter 8, chapter 10. We've got to write God's law on our hearts, in our minds, so we abide in it, so we walk in it. And John rejoiced, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Those who have begun the journey by forgiveness of their past sins, they have become Christians now, they are walking in the truth. And John says, I don't have any greater joy than that. To know you're walking in the truth. 1 John 1, 5-9. Walking in the light is following the truth, isn't it? It's practicing the truth. If we want to serve God, we've got to practice truth. Truth sanctifies us, sets us apart to the service of God. We would not know how to serve God except the truth tells us. See, it is an abiding commitment to truth that enables us and assures us that our service to God is pleasing to Him. 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 and 3 says, For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification,
that you abstain from fornication. The will of God is tantamount to, is equivalent to, the commandments that He's given us.
So, application then is, just as the apostles were set apart by truth, we are set apart in truth.
See, he sanctified us with washing of water and the Word. We are His elect race, a royal nation,
a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Set apart by truth. Set apart
to His service. What's that verse say? 1 Corinthians 1 2. Called saints. We've been called by God through the gospel to be set apart, be holy, to be dedicated to His service.
Set apart from sin, set apart unto God. Truth accomplishes that.
And the application then is, what do you do
to be sure you're set apart to serve God? If it's truth that sets us apart, that sanctifies us, John 17:17, then what are you doing in terms of truth to be set apart to serve God? Are you learning it? Are you walking in it? Practicing it? Living it? Once you learn it? Or do we learn it, but then put it on the back burner? Say, well, I know it should be, but that's that road paved with good intentions, isn't it? What are we doing? If we know truth sets us apart to serve God, are we attentive to learning His Word in Bible classes, studying it ourselves during sermons? Because it's God's Word that's being presented. Do we understand that it's by the understanding, knowing of truth, that we can then practice it? Is truth really being a part? Do we take time to be holy? By taking time to know God's Word, read God's Word, learn God's Word. Not going to be set apart to serve God faithfully without it.
What are we doing? You say God's Word says that God is seeking those who worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, it's interesting in Ephesians 5:17-20, when we're told,
don't be filled with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, with the Spirit of God. He says, redeeming the time because of days of evil, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunken with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Parallels Colossians 3 and verse 16. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the Word of Christ, to have fellowship with the Spirit of God by knowing, understanding the will of the Lord, verse 17. And then he goes right into saying, as you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You'll be worshiping. And you'll do it with thanksgiving, verse 20. And you'll do it with a submissive attitude toward one another in the fear of God, with reverence for God. You see, all of that built upon, predicated upon redeeming our time, upon putting God's Word into our hearts, understanding the will of the Lord, and living it. Our worship to God is based upon a revelation of truth. It defines truth. It arranges our worship. What can we, you know, if we go to our feelings and say, I feel it's worship, and therefore it is, or that's how we've always worshipped, and therefore it must be okay, then we remove that, we remove truth from the equation.
If we're going to truly worship God, we're going to do it as He has revealed us that worship in His Word. We need truth to grow, though. Grow in maturity. Speaking the truth in love, and grow up in all things in Him who is the head, even Christ.
We're going to serve God and grow to maturity. We need the Word of God. We need the food.
We need the food that helps us grow. Jesus said, my flesh is truly food and my blood is truly drink.
In John 6, you know, that's just before a lot of them turned away and said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? He said, my flesh is food indeed. That is true food. My blood is true drink. I'm talking about truth here. He said, truly, my flesh and blood is food and drink. He's talking about following His Word, that living Word, that words of eternal life, verse 68. the question comes to us, is truth our favorite food? What's your favorite food?
Salmon? Hamburger? Candy bar? Is that food? What's our favorite food? What's our favorite food about to feed our soul? Do we understand that there's a food that's more important than what fills our stomach? It's the food that feeds our soul. See, it's got to be truth.
It's got to be Christ's words.
His flesh, His blood. We've got the bread of life. That's His context. Truth feeding us so that we can be protected from sin. The armor of God in Ephesians 6 is an armor that is threaded with truth. It's sewn together by the threads of truth. Gird your waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith, by which you're able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Truth will help protect us as the battle for our souls rage, to be strong in the Lord. Let me ask you from this point of view real quick. Can you identify the victories that truth has won in your life? Can you take a spiritual assessment and say, well, what are the victories? When have I been able to stand strong in the Lord? And I believe that as you assess that with the Word of God as your guide, you'll see that when you were standing strong, when you had victory in Christ, it was because you were in truth. Because you were in harmony with what the truth of the gospel has to say. And we'll overcome when we turn away from that truth. The victories are found in Christ, in His truth, in the strength that comes from it. Let's thank God for the victories of our life in Christ and understand that those victories are because we choose to stand in truth rather than the errors of the world and sin, which leads to death. God is a God of truth. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. And so we must not exchange the truth of God for a lie. We cannot turn to false gods, to false teachings, to error. It only leads to death. That's why we must stay firmly focused upon the Word of God. To know it, to love it, to practice it. We alluded to 2 John 1 and 2 a moment ago, where John wrote, he said, I'm writing to those whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Christians must always be people of truth. If we stop being people of truth, we stop being the people of God. We then become those who have fallen away from the truth into sin and death. Bible says we've got to love the truth or we won't be saved. Bible says we've got to obey the truth to purify our souls. The Bible says we have to live the truth or Christ doesn't abide in us and we don't abide in Him. Bible says you can be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You see, you remember we read that passage at the beginning and said there are some that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's tie that to this. You see, we don't come to a knowledge of the truth when we're unwilling to obey it. When we will not obey it. It's when we will submit to it that then we're saved by it. Be saved this morning. Hold firmly and forever in your heart and in your life a commitment to truth. It will save your souls. The truth is in Jesus. That's the truth that He calls you to now. That's the truth that we urge you to obey right now. All together we stand and we sing.
To follow Jesus, standing for the right.